It is Ken Korak. Ken, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to be with you guys.
It's good to be with you, too. I saw Ken down at spring training, guys.
I was listening to the show when you guys were talking to him.
I'll tell you what, there's no joking here at all. We got into a fantastic conversation about music. Of all the things we could have talked about with Ken, we were talking about...
I'm not surprised.
Ken's a musical aficionado. I did not know this.
Well, yeah, and you know, it was interesting because on the A's last homestand, they had the Day on the Green fireworks, and that brought back a lot of memories, you know, with the musical theme and all the great concerts at the Coliseum. So, yeah, I mean, it was fun spending some time talking with you about that kind of stuff.
Well, and now here we are a few months later, Ken, and the A's, pardon the pun here, making music on the field, four series in a row that they've won. They go into Cleveland, and what we were just talking about before we brought you on, Ken, is, you know, if you're Billy Bean, you wonder if he's white-knuckling it a tiny bit here, saying, you know, it would be a lot easier, guys, if we're going to make some moves, if you maybe had lost 7-10 instead of won 7-10. But do you still see him being sellers at the trade deadline?
Well, it does complicate things a little bit in a good way because they've played really well. As you said, when you win four series at any time consecutively in a season, that's really a plus. But my guess would be that the way they're playing right now, I just don't see it impacting any decision that they might make regarding trades. Because if you look, you have to take a step back and look objectively. The A's getting in the race and especially getting to a point where they can contend in the second half, it's going to be really tough for them to do. If you know, they have 60 games left exactly, they would have to go 40-20 to get to 87 games, 87 wins. And if you have 87, you might have a shot for maybe the second wild card. So I just don't see it impacting their thinking. Now, that being said, I do think they're going to have their socks knocked off as far as an offer. And that might have been the case even a couple of weeks ago, but the A's can be very unpredictable, as you all know. And with Billy and David Forrest, there are times when they make a deal and you go, "Boy, I just didn't see that coming." I do think they would like to trade Rich Hill, but that's complicated because of the blister, and we don't know if he'll pitch over the weekend. I know there'll be a lot of scouts over the weekend out here in Cleveland watching the A's play and watching the Indians, but we'll have to wait and see it unfold, but I just don't see the A's. They're not going to give their players away, that's for sure.
It's interesting that you mentioned Rich Hill because he's one of the guys, along with, you know, Josh Reddick and Danny Valencia and a handful of others, that the name's kind of been floating around. But that blister issue has been ongoing for Rich Hill. But it looks like he's going to take the mound and kind of throw some balls and see how it feels. But it looks like from everything I'm reading that despite what happens with this blister, it doesn't really impact whether or not they're going to move him or not.
Well, yes and no. I don't know. If I were a team and I was trying to trade for somebody, I think maybe I'd like to see him pitch first. I think it might make it a little easier to trade him if he can go to the mound, let's say, on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right from the standpoint, this isn't like he has a rotator cuff or he has a bad elbow. I mean, generally, he's healthy. He had a groin injury earlier in the year, but came back and pitched well after that. And like you said, Their hope is that he can throw a side session today down in the bullpen, and if that goes well, then maybe he can pitch on Sunday. We'll just have to wait and see.
Ken Korak with us on KHDK. Ken, this is really difficult to predict with the A's, but is there anyone that would be considered maybe untouchable, or if not that, just a piece that they'd really like to have around for a couple of more years?
Well, I would hope so. I don't. You know, there's been so much discussion about Sonny Gray. And he's having a down year. He had a better game the other day against the Rangers and got the win against Texas in the second game of the series. There is no urgency to trade him. He is under control. So if you look at their rotation, especially with some of the young guys coming around like Graveman, who's going to pitch tonight, and Sean Manaea, who's been really good, it'd be great to see the A's with Sonny fronting the rotation next year with guys like Manaea and Graveman behind him, and they have a lot of other candidates to fill out the rotation. I don't see there's any chance of them trading Chris Davis. You know, Chris Davis, he has played 10 games against the Rangers this year. He has 19 RBIs against those guys, which is a crazy figure. He's going to set an A's record unless he just falls off the map the rest of the way for most RBIs against the Rangers in a season. The A's have 9 games left against them. So in the middle of the order, he's a guy that's had a really impressive year. And so I don't see them trading him, that's for sure.
Ken Korak joining us on KHDK. It just seems like every year the A's bring someone in that either rediscovers their stroke or improves tenfold. You know, we talked about, despite the defensive issues, we talked about Marcus Semien last year and his impact offensively. Here we go with Chris Davis, and we knew he had power. Talk a little bit. We talk about Bob Melvin all the time, and deservedly so, but about Ron Washington and the rest of that coaching staff. It just seems that's got to be one of the big cogs there with these guys having these career years.
It's really an impressive group, top to bottom with the staff, and I think under the radar was moving Mark Kotze, bringing Mark back to the organization where he played so well for the A's in the outfield, and having Mark as the bench coach this year. Kurt Young does a great job. He's been with the club forever as their pitching coach. But Wash is great, and Wash is just, he's pure baseball. One of the great joys that I have before a game, almost every game, is sitting in the dugout and just talking baseball with Wash. He's an encyclopedia. His enthusiasm is boundless. The work that he's done with Semien and Ryan Healy as well. The A's, you know, coinciding with the A's having this nice run after the break would be the move to bring Healy up and have him play third base and install Jake Smolinski as the almost regular center fielder. And Wash has done a lot of work with Healy, and it's incredible what he's done with Marcus. And Marcus is such a great kid. He's a local product from the East Bay. It means so much to him to play for the A's. And I just have a great respect for him in his professionalism. So to see him come this far, I think it's been a wonderful thing for all of us to see.
Ken, in addition to the A's having 60 games left, the Los Angeles Dodgers have exactly 60 games left. And why am I asking you about the Dodgers? If they don't make the playoffs, that means Vin Scully has 60 more games left as an announcer. And as we wind down, and he told a wonderful fish story the other day, I keep a collection here in my sound bank of all the different stories he's told through this year. You can really tell he's feeling it. He's on his way out. He's having fun, which he always has. And as one of his colleagues, just talk a little bit about that legend.
Yeah, and he had that Bumgarner, the story.
Oh, we've heard it so many
right
times.
In training, yeah. Well, I don't know that I would be here today without Vin Scully. And as a kid growing up in California and spending the first 18 years of my life in Southern California, growing up listening to Scully, he had a profound impact on me. All of us in this business, it's universal. We all look at him as a god, a godlike figure. And the impact he's made on the game and the Dodgers fans has just been profound. I've listened to Vinny ever since. I don't ever remember baseball without him. And so I'm very fortunate. My father is still alive and he's 97. But when I listen to Scully, it's almost like my father is talking to me. That's how long I've listened to him, and that's how familiar the voice is and the impact that he's made on me and in my career and professionally and in my life. And so it'll be sad to see him go, but I think we can treasure all the moments. And who would have thought that anyone, I mean, to me, this is my 21st year with the A's, to think that he has worked three times as many years with one team, and more than that, actually more than that, with the Dodgers. It's pretty remarkable. So I think we can look back and say that we've been real fortunate to have him along for this long.
Well, and Ken, as we wrap up, I was going to ask you, you know, specifically, what was it to you that makes Vin so legendary? And you nailed it, I think. In addition to his longevity, you talked about your father. Ken, I don't know if you agree or not, but I think baseball, more than football or basketball by far, is the best sport to listen to on the radio. With Vin Scully, is it almost like you almost put him in as part of that summer soundtrack, like the smell of fresh-cut grass or something? It just seems impossible to have baseball without that radio medium of his.
Yeah, you can almost hear the ball hitting the mitt or the bat hitting the ball when you listen to him. He's synonymous with the sport. He is. He's been the soundtrack of summer, and that's in a romantic sense of what we do, because the games, it's 6 months, it's every day. The page gets turned every day. It's this long story that is baseball, and it's a day-to-day thing. And so I think having that constant in your life for 6 months is one of the great things about baseball, and especially the privilege we have to broadcast it. From my standpoint, I think the two things that really stand out about Vinny, number one would be that he has a tremendous amount of credibility. I remember when I asked him on an interview a long time ago during the early days of interleague play that the essence of a broadcast, his answer was very succinct, but he said that you're believable. And so I think he's always brought that to the table. And the other thing is his incredible work ethic. You get more than balls and strikes. Now, the game on the field is still the most important thing with what we do, but he goes so beyond that, and the stories and the anecdotes and the work he puts in to make the broadcast entertaining and compelling. So you have a reason to care about the players you're listening to. And I think that's the thing that has really resonated with me for all these years.
That's well said, Ken. Unlike, you know, regular baseball, announcers don't get a bullpen, and you're on the air in 8 hours, and you go complete game every time. So we appreciate your time, and we'll check in with you later in the year after the trade deadline and see what these A's are doing.
Well, I've appreciated all of your support over the years. It's wonderful to have the relationship with the station. So anytime, thanks for having me on.
Thanks,
all right,
Ken.
Take care. That's Ken Korak, just one of the nicest, classiest dudes, period.